Recording in progress.
Concentrate to remain the priority and suggest.
How many are we doing? Are we, Miss Davis? Are we forming a quorum to start?
Chairperson, there's only 4 members on the platform, including yourself.
Okay.
Now we have 5 members.
Okay. Good morning, Honor. Can you flag the agenda?
I'm flagging the agenda now.
Okay.
Are you able to see the agenda, Chairperson?
Yes. I do. Can I invite members to observe a moment of silence for meditation or prayer? Thank you very much. This is the agenda, honorable members. Can we move for the adoption of the agenda? Can we get the mover for the adoption of the agenda?
I move, Chair.
Honorable Makaseni moved. Makaseni moved. Honorable Sethwai,
I second the mover, Chair.
Thank you very much. The agenda is duly adopted. Let me take this opportunity to welcome honorable members and welcome the department. DM, I saw the DM, I didn't see the minister. If the minister has joined, both of you, you're welcome in your teams. Can we then acknowledge or receive apologies if there are any? Ms. Davis?
Chairperson, the only apology received is from Honorable Dr. Kumalo, who is off sick. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Apologies, I think, is accepted. And then item number 4 is the consideration and adoption of the Northern Cape and Northwest Oversight Visit Report. Sabelo.
Morning, Chair.
Yeah. Take us through and please. Speak to the report, then go page by page.
Okay, Chair. Hi, honey.
Hi, Savita, you also have a story.
Oh, okay, okay, thank you. Honorable members, can you see the report?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Morning, honorable person members and deputy minister and all protocol observed. I'm going to take you through the Northern Cape and Northwest provincial report, oversight report, which took place from 27 to 31st March 2023. So with regards to the background, it talks about the responsibility of the committee in undertaking oversight, and it talks about the areas that the committee seeks to address, such as your integrated human settlements planning, your outcome aid, the title deed, military veterans, and issues of the destitute people, and also dealing with alternative technologies. So, when we were at the Northern Cape, the provincial department briefed the committee, and they fled challenges such as vacant post, the housing backlog was at 80,000, and they needed more money to deal with the backlog. And with regards to the building materials, they indicated that they only had three hardwares that were working with the provincial department, and they were only sourcing materials from the Western Cape and Gauteng, and this required extra funds. And also the challenge of non-performance by contractors. And with regards to the presentation, the department indicated that they received a limited budget over the 3 years for servicing of sites and construction, and the province has spent 100% of both the HSDG and the UISP. With regards to the outcomes aid, the province had delivered 1,432 BNG houses, 440 FLIS service sites, and 458 CRUs, and 13 informal settlements upgraded to phase 3. With regards to military veterans, there was a lack of delivery due to budget constraints, and there were no alternative building technologies because they indicated that there was a lack of buy-in from beneficiary. And then number three, with regards to the project that we visited, the first one was Lerato Park. This was an integrated housing development, which was offering different housing typologies. And the project was planned to deliver 4,652 subsidized housing. The committee was, you know, interacted with some people who were standing nearby, and they had indicated that they were not happy with the rent to buy approach, because they were told that those flats were rent to buy approach, but later on that was changed to say that they will only rent. And then with regards to Lerato military veterans, the owner indicated happiness with the regards to the spec and the nature of the house. in Rodepan Flats in Kimberley. There were about 1,092 units, and this was, they indicated that these houses were part of, or the project was part of the IDP of the municipality. And they also indicated problems with regards to the collection of rent, because some people were not willing to pay rent. And the following project was the Hewlett Street Social Housing, and there were 372 social housing units. And there was a challenge of groundwater, which was detected, was not detected during the geotech study. However, the contractor that was there indicated that they found a way to pull the groundwater up. And also, some community members indicated a dissatisfaction with houses being in a sinkhole. And they also complained about the mining dust, which is causing sicknesses. In Kutu, Shilling 1, there were about 1,265 informal settlements. The HDA was a developer. However, there was a dispute with the contractor who was on site, and the matter was in court. So the committee urged everyone involved to fast-track the issue and also make sure that while waiting for court decision, there should not be a vandalism of the of those houses. In Pankara, 200 in Ward 22, sorry, in Ward 2, there was a problem of low water pressure, and they indicated that load shedding was contributing to this problem. And then the delegation moved to the to Northwest, and then they received a briefing, and the briefing was around they indicated that they are using the DDM model or forums for integrated human settlements planning. And with regards to outcomes aid, they indicated that they had implemented up to 119%, and the title restoration program, they indicated that they have appointed 25 conveyancers to register about 34,000 title deeds, and they indicated that they involved youth from the township who also benefit from that. The military veteran, the construction of military veterans, they indicated that there were about 22 approved units, and they were also still in communication with the Department of Military Veterans with regards to norms and standards. And this consultation was still pending. With regards to housing for destitute, special needs, and vulnerable groups, they indicated that municipalities were encouraged to prioritize these groups. And with regards to rural farm workers assistance, they indicated that there's in Kuma Hostel, they built temporary structures, and these were walk-up flats. And the problem is that this was stopped during due to the dolomitic land. The management of the beneficiary list, they indicated that they use the National Housing Needs Register to manage the beneficiary list. And with regards to alternative technology, they indicated that they received several proposals on alternative technology, but they have not delivered anything yet. But they were planning to have symposiums to to discuss alternative technologies. These were the deliberations that took place, and they provided the responses to the committee. Now, with regards to the visits that took place, number one was Naledi Extension 29. This was a mixed housing project. The issue here is that water meters were not connected. Number two is the Freyberg Extension, Extension 21, Kuhudi Extension 1. And this was just in a phase of a layout plan. And number three, with regards to Twain, of particular concern for the committee was that there was a disabled person who did not get an appropriate house. And the committee gave the provincial department 1 month to ensure that their house is completed. And in Shileng, there was an issue of non-compliance or non-performance by one contractor, and this was then given to the next contractor, and there was also issues of payment, because there was really no clarity on the payment that was due to the committee, and also the committee urged the province to rectify this thing and report to the committee. Okay. Lastly, there was a blue drop project, and they had an issue of a big rock which was a problem, and they indicated that that was rectified. And the near state was also visited. There was an issue of the project moving in slow pace, and there was an issue with one house which had a problem of the gutter. And this number seven, there was a complaint, or there was a petition which was lodged, and the chairperson indicated that that group could speak to the support staff of the committee, and then the support staff indicated to the complainant that they should write this in writing in a formal formally, and they were also given contact of the secretary if they need further assistance. With regards to the recommendations made by the committee, these recommendations are divided into two provinces. There's Northern Cape, and then there's Northwest. Okay, so with regards to the Northern Cape, the committee felt that they should fast track the filling of a vacant post to ensure stability and improve performance. And secondly, encourage local contractors to use approved, sustainable, locally produced alternative building materials in order to address the issue of scarcity of building materials in the province, and show that prospective beneficiaries buy in and support alternative building materials. Fast track the issuing of title deed program, address all issues preventing the issuing of title deeds, ensure that people renting in social housing are willing and able to pay rent in order to improve revenue collection. Frequent occupancy studies should be conducted. Ensure cash injection in order to help unblock block projects. Ensure integrated planning participation by other sister departments in human settlements development. Ensure the delivery of military veteran houses. Ensure that housing design and size are acceptable to prospective beneficiary, develop a strategy to deal with the mushrooming of informal settlements in mining town areas, ensure the provision of bulk infrastructure before the implementation of housing projects, ensure the visibility of NHBRC, ensure that houses are not delivered in the periphery of towns and cities. Now, with regards to Northwest specific recommendations, use the DDM or the District Development Forum to ensure integrated planning so that human settlements are developed with social and economic amenities. Fast track the construction of houses for military veterans. Address challenges associated with township establishments to improve the title deed issuance. Develop a clear strategy to run community residential units. This strategy should ensure proper maintenance and revenue collection. Develop a clear strategy to deal with land invasion. Develop a strategy to eradicate mud houses and asbestos roofing. And complete the housing units for disabled beneficiaries left incomplete by Mexican contractor in Compella Village. Make an arrangement with the contractor that was on site to complete the abandoned milestone within a month. Furthermore, ensure that the completion payment arrangement is done accordingly between the two contractors in Compella. Consult with the elderly person who was in the Ritani village about the proposal of building her a house in Compella village. And if she is willing to relocate, the contractor should build her a house within an area of implementation. Blacklist Foxido because of non-performance in Shilane and Mafufuto village. Assist women contractors in construction industry. Empower youth and disability to undertake in their construction industry. Fast track the installation of internal services in the estate. Incorporate self-help or people's housing process into all projects to ensure the involvement of communities in their housing development. Ensure that beneficiary lists are acceptable to everyone involved in the project. Ensure close monitoring of all housing projects and institute consequence management in case of deliberate non-performance. Recoup monies from contractors in Mafufuso project who was alleged to be overpaid. Address community unrest and stealing of building materials. Thank you, Honorable Chair. That is the report before you. Draft report, Chair.
Thank you very much, Sabelo. Honorable members, that's the report. Sabelo, there are no time frames. It's only one time frame on the disabled person. On others, there is no time frames. Honorable Magesini.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the report. I was worried also with the time frame because it was the disability person, the older people, the person, they were no time frame. And we gave them a month that they must consult and relocate to Compella village. And that consultation, that time frame was not captured. Another issue, Chair, it was the issue of the woman contractor of Mafufuto 1 and 2 who was abused. We felt she was abused. The treatment was unfair that she must pay the cost of the previous contractor so that if she wants to get that project, then we felt that the treatment of that contractor was not fair. I think if we can try to capture properly, because she was have to pay something that she didn't do it so that she can get a contractor. We feel the abuse of the women contractor is just too much in the Northwest province. Then the issue of the, also we said the time frame of the Northern Cape recommendation on the issue of the Lerato Park, that the contractor or consultant must be appointed on the issue of the rent. We also came with the time frame. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makasine. I think the issue of Mufufutu, we further said the department, because we said the department must relook on the issue of sessions between contractors, because it will affect safe delivery of houses, if I remember very well, that yes. There must be, if there is any session, the department actually must guide the process so that you don't have contractor to contractor, and at the ultimate end, as Honorable Makasene says, it's said that the other contractor, because he needs to work, he get abused in the process. So I think we should capture it properly, and we then said we need to engage the department, national department, on these issues of sessions, because it's all over the country. And then we must have a understanding in terms of the how it's been guided as a way of assisting the previously disadvantaged contractors instead of collapsing them. Honorable Butas. Honorable
Sege. Okay. Yeah, maybe from what Mema Keseni has said, that Comrade Savelo, we need to be very specific, especially on the resolutions. One, a report must be forwarded on the disabled person we found. I think it was Charlene. You remember that person who was moving from another community to where we were, where there's a contractor that was building. I think it's one of the contractors that we actually celebrated the work that he was.
It was Obela, Chair.
It was Mopela.
Obela,
okay, yeah. Let's get the name of that person. I think you took all the details, but the name is important. To say, we found the following, this person, we need a report on how far his allocation. The second one is what you said on the lady contractor who happened to take over an outstanding figures. I think it was daily robbery. Again, we need to get the name of that contractor, and not the name as the personal name, but the name of the contractor, to say, our observation in that contracting process, as a committee, we felt that it was unfair for the new contractor to take the sins of the previous contractor. Okay, the sins, maybe my language, you will put it better. Because if you remember where we were standing, where the site is, things were stolen because that person could just not move because of the previous injustice. The second one is the one that we went to where, I think it was not part, if you remember, we spoke with the chair for us to visit as one of the area, the lady, who her house we was asked to be finished in 21 days. I saw you wrote it in your report. but the name of the place goes away again. There, we need to get, because the 21 days was given. Chair, because I'm communicating with this lady, windows were installed and everything. While in the process of being installed, the other community members complained to say, why only this one? Because I think the houses that were identified were 10. I spoke to the councillor, and the councillor said he instructed the windows to be removed because it is a game, Chair. The windows were removed while they were already installed because others were complaining. I felt that it's unbecoming. Now, nothing is happening there, Chair, even after that 21 days, because others were complaining. We tried to engage the councillor to say progress must start somewhere, which is, it was starting there. But the councillor, in my engagement with him, he said, because the lady is also a family member, the community thought that he is the one that targeted that area for develop or for finalization of the house. So there's that issue, Chair, which I think as a committee we need to note, even if you don't note what I'm saying, Sabelo, but just to indicate that that house, it's not even complete even now, because the community revolted after the intervention of that 21 days mandate, which I think we need to follow up. The department must take that matter and resolve even those 10 that were complaining. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Zeki. Any other input? None. Actually, what after we have received the information, they have actually communicated with me, and I've sent the message to the MEC and requested that the MEC should attend to those issues. So the MEC has got the knowledge. But you see, the my problem was that councillor, where does he get the power to remove somebody's windows? Even if the community was because it's not him who said that that house must be finalized and finished. Where does he fit? It's something that I thought would have to call the councillor and engage with him, because you cannot do that. Who's going to pay those damages because of his reckless decision? Because how do you go into an area and say, remove these things because community? Why didn't he report the matter to the MEC, because he's not in charge of housing? Because I felt that this councillor is out of order too, whether he's a family member of the lady or not, but he is out of order to instruct the contractor or to remove the windows. Because who's going to pay then the rest of the issues, the material? Because those windows might have been damaged as you removed them in the house. So I think as we adopt this report, we'll have to engage the MEC and the department. I said Sabelo and Kholiso, they must actually, in areas where we said there is a need to fix those areas within 30 days, they must count days immediately after 30 days have been finished. They must actually write a letter through the department
to actually say the 31st date we have given you as labs, and we want the feedback on this matter. I think as you respond, Sabel, on the issue, you can then indicate whether you have written those letters and whether you have received any response from the department. Sabel?
Yes, sir. We have drafted the letters, and we have included all the people in different provinces. They are with police now. I'm not sure if you have sent them already, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Sabelo. I think, honorable members, what we'll do is that, because Qualisa is not in the meeting, it's off sick. In the next meeting, as we deal with the minutes, we'll then actually get the feedback of how far, whether he has sent those letters or she has, whether she has received any feedback, so that if there is no response, we can then be able to summon whoever we need to summon to come in and give us the feedback. With that note, honorable members, Butas, your hands are still up.
Apologies, sir.
Okay, thank you. With that note, can I then get the mover for the adoption of the report with the correction and the inputs that members have made?
Adopt, sir.
Honorable Tseki, move for the adoption. Can we then have a seconder? Honorable Malimaza, second. Thank you very much. Honorable Malimaza, were you part of the... No?
Oh, you was not part input.
Okay. Okay. And then only those that were part, they'll have to...
No, Comrade Malimaja was there. So let me leave it.
I was there. Unalisio Eastern K.
Ibilere Koka and Tosa Flo.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. The report is duly adopted. Sabelo have to input on the issues that members have raised. And I think it's very clear that we have adopted the report with amendments. Can we then go to the second item, which is the department? Let me take this opportunity to welcome you, DM. I'm not sure whether the minister has joined us. Sorry. I see the hands of Honorable Sekwai.
My apology for raising very late. I was doubting if I can comment. I know that I was not part and parcel of the oversight. May I just on two issues,
okay,
which I think may want to really change the content of your report. The issue that is raised, Chair, in the military houses building. This is a good program of government. But you find that in many times where these houses are built, they stay alone without being occupied by the owners. The reason being, that house, to military veterans, that house is attached to a lot of basic needs. And if those basic needs are not attached, they don't get to the house before the owner comes in, that house is not appreciated. I'm just throwing, Chair, even to the department, to think
what could be the integrated service that could go with the planning of those houses for the military veterans? And the last one, Chair, is the issue of the, I see that the members on the oversight raised the issue that we need to ensure that there's a clear beneficiary list. Maybe the question is, out of our experience as a committee about the beneficiary list that are not authentic, that they got lost, and they, you know, speaking the truth, we resorted to issue of digitalization. Where is that issue of digitalization so that that beneficiary list that is going to be hand man-made becomes quality on the basis of the digitalization? Thank you, Chair. I was just commenting, Chair, on some other issues that could be considered in the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Strike. I think the issues that we are raising can fit well in the next item where we can raise it, because it's not an issue of one area, like the issues of the vets, of the military vets. It's something that we found in most of the provinces. The issue of beneficiary list, too, it's not the issue of one area. It's not Northern Cape or Northwest only. It's throughout the country. So I think if I can persuade you that as we deal with the quarter four, it can fit there, because that's where we're dealing with the issues of the entire country.
No, I'm fine, Chair. I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that note, let me welcome GM. I didn't see Minister.
Thank you, Chair.
Minister, you're welcome, and you can lead your team. Minister Kubach, you're welcome too. You can lead your team.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, DM, honorable members, team led by the acting director general from Human Settlements. We are appearing before you today, Chairperson, to present our fourth quarter of the last financial year in terms of performance. What we are presenting, Chair, is a performance that would have reflected upon during the time we were here for our APP presentation prior to our budget, highlighting the weaknesses, highlighting the challenges, but also what is it that we are doing about it. Also the reflection on the achievements so far that we have done as a portfolio. Chair, around, we continue consistently to report on the issues around performance of the portfolio in terms of capacity building. We are working around the clock to ensure that there's capacity rebuilding, as we had indicated. Two newly appointed DDGs have started. The third one starts tomorrow. The fourth, in terms of affordable housing DDG, we have advertised, shortlisted already this week. We will go into interviews on the week of the 14th. And then take a cabinet process. We delayed in that, Chair, because when we did the other three, we had an offer or something, a request for transfer that by Public Service Act we needed to consider. It was a good candidate. We thought that we could utilize the skill. unfortunately, it was the issue difference around the offering package and what the expected candidate would have wanted. And we felt that it would fall outside the prescripts, having taken a decision to ensure that we will always ensure that we are within the prescript. So that's what we where we are with the last one. We will be now going out to start the recruitment process of a director general. We are currently doing a job evaluation as required by public service and administration regulations before we can advertise. We're expecting that will be done in the coming weeks once the job evaluation has been done and concluded. Chair, in terms of our performance, I can say, as we said previously, that there is improvement in the work that we are doing. It will not show in this financial year because quite a number of colleagues who've been acting as heads of branches would have come in from branches where they were chief directors. And that affected us in terms of capacity. So going forward, we are confident that we'll be able to have that stability and the people being able to do the work. But most importantly as well, to be able to say we beefed up capacity with the war room. That has done an extremely good work in the last year because that's where the gap was. They were able, for example, to assist us to turn around intervention that we made in Nelson Mandela Bay. The improvement that we see today in Nelson Mandela Bay in human settlements is as a result of the deployment of that war room colleagues. Some of them now, we've now started to put them in the structures within the organization, additional to the establishment while we're recruiting as well, filling those positions so that they can be able to assist us in ensuring. So in interventions where we wanted to ensure that there's improved performance, we've been able to engage with the provincial executive committees to go into those provinces and support them with capacity and also in the municipalities. We made interventions in two municipalities, particularly Nelson Mandela Bay and Mangaung, both in terms of capacity, but ensuring that we help them to try and improve. With Nelson Mandela Bay, we've been able to see the results. With Mangaung, the political instability added to the salt, and we were not able to see much of the progress that we wanted, but some level of progress, which is not sufficient to the level. But I can safely say that the individual who deployed there was commended in terms of the work ethic, the focus in terms of work, but ethical standards. And that's why we were requested to support the Mangaung with her becoming an acting MM while they recruit and stabilizing the municipality from COCTA's point of view. So we are confident that the work that is being done there as intervention, which we are supporting as human settlement, will give us benefits that are good in terms of work. We are paying attention to other municipalities where there are challenges, having discussions with them. We've got a MINMEC focus on metros coming up just to deal with the evaluation. MINMEC took a decision that we need to zoom into the performance of the municipalities, get into before we can approve their business plans, get into where the challenges are, address them as MINMEC so that when we go into the new financial year, we are able to improve on the capacity. Chair, when you look at our performance, you'll see that there's quite improvement in terms of where we need to be, but I can safely say we are not yet there 100% in terms of performance. On the previous financial year as well, Chair, you would have picked up that there were quite a number of issues raised by the Auditor General, which we have flagged. We have started paying attention, including those around consequence management, where letters of warning would have been given to officials, or even in terms of final warning. So that has been done. I've requested the then acting director general to assist us. Chair, unfortunately, she's not joining us today. She's on maternity leave. We've got the acting director general, Siyabonga Zama, who's leading with us here in terms of the team. You'd know that he's one of the officials that we have appointed into the department as a full-time DDG. So as we continue to do the work, Chair, I thought, let me just flag so that when you hear somebody says I'm acting director general, you understand the context of it. I think, Chair, that's what I need to say. We continue to do our best, improve on performance, improve on the areas of intervention, but we do believe that the pillar for us to improve performance is ensuring that we have capacity to do the work. That we pay attention both in national and in the provinces, with, for example, all HODs now being appointed across the country, which will assist in terms of accountability. We have strengthened as well and asked the team to ensure that technical MINMEC assists us as a sector, to ensure that work is being done, monitoring is being done, evaluation. So even at MINMEC level, we really spend time looking at performance and holding each other accountable as a sector. And I do believe that that's going to be something that helps us to turn around performance in this portfolio. With those words, Chair, I'd like to hand over to the DM if she's got something to say, a few words as well on the area that she's got.
You've covered some of the areas and mostly all of them. But I just want to highlight two issues to say our performance is largely dependent on external stakeholder performance. To ensure credibility when reporting, the department does not update its records without a portfolio of evidence confirming the information received from provinces and municipalities. As such, bulk of targets which are reported as partially achieved have actually been completed, but the portfolio of evidence was received after the reporting due date. And the other thing that I want to raise, Chair, is because I'm responsible for women and youth, and I'm seeing much improvement. I know that the portfolio committee has been complaining about set aside 30% set aside for women, which is now 40% actually, and 10% set aside for youth and 2% set aside for people with disabilities. And the department has intends to strengthen intergovernmental relations to foster improved performance. And I've observed an improvement in the empowerment of women, with more provinces reaching and exceeding the set aside targets. We were with the minister in two provinces where the buildings are built by women and 100% built by women. So there's much improvement, though I know that when you were doing the oversight, I got a call from one of the members of parliament to say, what are we saying about women that are complaining about not being given work by provinces? But there is much improvement now, because we're talking directly to premiers and also MECs to make sure that women, they give them work to do. And I see much improvement, and I will maybe in the next financial year, quarter term, we will be able to report directly, because this happened only last week where we went to these provinces and women are building 100% are given work to do. So you will see much improvement on side of the of women. On the side of youth, Chair, we're not doing very well. I don't want to blame the department. It's my department which is actually looking at the youth. And in terms of the scholarship, we might be a little bit lower, but we're improving, because we're going to have an expo which is going to talk to women, to students, and also just to make them aware of opportunities in our departments and our entities. So that's what I wanted to add, Chair. Thank you very much.
Acting DG, over to you to guide the presentation. I think you can make your few words and then allow the team to present.
Yes. Thank you. So thanks, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister. Greetings to the Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee and colleagues. Mine will be short. Mine is to say there is a lot of improvement that has been done by the department. If you do a comparison from quarter one to quarter four, the Portfolio Committee could see that the department was hard at work
trying to improve, because performance is about two things. It's either regression or progression. And we have seen a lot of progress with regards to achieving the APP targets that were on the table. And Honorable Chair, we want to emphasize the point that the achievements that we are bringing to the Portfolio Committee are backed by a credible portfolio of evidence that can be pass the test of the auditor general, because whatever target that we bring forward must be audited. And we have taken upon ourselves to seriously, as the minister has indicated, to work closely with our beneficiaries, which is provinces and metros. For example, with regards to the business plans that weren't approved before the end of the quarter, we have already met with, for example, the Eastern Cape in trying to make sure that that business plan is approved and the Free State. Therefore, the interventions are continuous and are there. We'll continue as a department intervening and working with our colleagues in provinces. Thanks, Honorable Chair. I will then hand over to CFO to lead us on the presentation. Thanks.
Thanks, Acting DG, Honorable Minister, Honorable DM, the Chairperson of the Human Settlements Portfolio, members of the Portfolio Committee, and colleagues, good morning. The host has disabled me to share the screen. I don't know who will be sharing the screen. I'm struggling to share.
You can share this, your presentation now. You're a co-host.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, thanks. My name is Lusise Nembile. I'll be taking the Portfolio Committee throughout the presentation. We are looking at quarter four, which is January to March. And the next slide, this is the contents. We'll be looking at the performance, the structure, then the non-financial, and then the financial, and then the performance on the conditional grants, the observation, and the conclusion, together with what we are putting forward as a recommendations. We are presenting the departmental 2023-24 quarter four performance to the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlements. I will be starting with our budget structure, but I won't dwell much. The department is divided into five programs, and the APP is linked to the programs, and we've got administration, which is program one. Program two is the integrated human settlements planning and development. Program three is the informal settlements. Program four is rental and social housing. And then program five is affordable housing program. So for the quarter under review, out of 100 on all the targets, we have achieved 72%, which is green. There is 25%, which is amber, and then which is partially achieved. Partially achieved, it means that on that target, there are some activities, because for us to meet the target 100%, there's different activities that we need to do. So you'll find that when the target is sitting at partially achieved, there are some of the activities that were not met by end of that particular quarter, whereas the other activities have been performed. However, 3%, which is one, has not been achieved, but I'll talk to it when I reach. So for the quarter under review, we had a total of 40, and out of those 40 targets, 29 were 29 were achieved, 10 were partially achieved, and then only one target was not achieved. The one target that is not achieved is sitting under program 5. So from program 1 to 4, all of these programs, they either achieved 100% or they achieved some of the project, the targets, and then whereas the others targets are partially achieved. So there's only one target that was not achieved, which is sitting under program 5. I'll talk to it when I go into the details. So this is what the acting DG was talking about, that we are showing the performance of the department throughout the quarters. So we have moved from 58% quarter one. Now we are reporting quarter four, which now we are sitting at 72%. So we can see now it's going up. The performance of the department has improved from the first quarter until now. So we have shown a consistent moving up the ladder. So we are really improving as a department. Now on program one, I'm going to talk to the ones that are not achieved. The ones that are achieved 100%, I won't dwell much into them. So one of the indicators that is partially achieved under administration is the compliance when it comes to our statutory tablings. One of the targets that I've laid down here is the parliamentary questions, which is sitting under this program. So we are saying, for the quarter under review, we had a total of 31 parliamentary questions that were posed to us. The ones that were responded to in time, there were 21. Then there were 10 that we couldn't meet the target or the date of submission back to the minister to be submitted to parliament. The reason being is some of these targets, they're related to the information that we have to drill down and get from the provinces. And we will have like struggle with getting the responses, because some of the information that we'll be receiving from the provinces are not complete. And we have to go up and down with the provinces to try and get the information so that we can respond to. But what we are putting as a corrective measure as a department is we have adopted the SOP that we have agreed to between the national department and the other, and with the provincial departments and our entities, to say that we are giving each other, these are the number of days that we are expected to be able to respond to. So we are saying going forward, we are going to make sure that both the national department and the entities and the provincial departments of human settlements, we need to adhere to this date that we have agreed on, because these dates were presented at the technical min-max, whereby all of us were present and we all adopted and said we will be able to respond to the parliamentary question within the stipulated date. So we just have to make sure that we comply with those dates. Then when we go to program two, the integrated human settlements program two, the target that was partially achieved is the analysis on the human settlements allocation in the PDAs. Now, even though the target was a report on the allocation within the PDAs, when we look at the entities, sorry, the activities that are embedded in there, even if as a department we have produced that report, but we are saying we are partially achieved because we were able to track and analyze the investment of the HSDG and the USDG. However, there are other investments, for example, the municipal infrastructure grants, the MIG. So we are saying as a department, we struggled getting to verify the investments that are made by the other sector departments. So even if we're able to get the data, we couldn't verify that data to the credible source. So hence we are saying, even though we have achieved the target of the report, but we are saying we are not going to say we have 100% achieved, because the investment by other sector departments, we couldn't verify. Hence we are saying we are sitting on amber. Then we are saying, what is it as a department that we are putting forward as a corrective measure that for the new year we are going to do? We are saying for us as a national department of human settlements, if we are carrying this target for the in the next financial year, we need to consult with National Treasury to find out how can we verify the sector department investments. For example, we'll be able to get reports or the expenditure reports that are from the National Treasury, because AG will want us to have a verifiable source. So we are going to start the discussions with National Treasury so that all the other infrastructure grants, when they submit the reports to National Treasury, we need to be given access to those expenditure reports so that we are able to see the investments within our PDAs. The next target that we are saying is EMBA on program 2 is the land acquired during the 2014-2019 within the PHDH that is rezoned. So by the time that we were finalizing this quarter 4, we no hectares of land were rezoned. But Chairperson and members, subsequent to that, we received information that from the Western Cape that there was a rezoning of land in Gugule 2, which is 0.77 hectares of land. But unfortunately, this land was rezoned and the information was received after we have submitted this quarter 4 report to DPME. So we thought that when we come to the portfolio committee, we will report an EMBA so that we are consistent with our reporting, so that the report that we are putting in front of the portfolio committee is the same as what we have submitted to DPME. However, when we come back and present our annual performance, our annual performance report, this target is going to be green, because we won't be saying no hectares of land has been rezoned. We are going to say there was 0.77 hectares of land that was rezoned within Gugule 2 in the Western Cape. On the same program 2, Chairperson and members, we have targeted to do as some 3 researches. We are supposed to do a research on the exploration of the indigenous knowledge systems and alternative technology in the provision of enhanced people's housing process in the rural South Africa. The second research that we're supposed to do is the economic impact of housing program. And the third research that we're supposed to do is the research on the extent of housing support provided to beneficiaries of the 1992. Out of these 3 research that we said we'll do on the fourth quarter, we were able to do 2 of the researches. One research we couldn't finish, which is the economic impact on the housing program. It was not done and finalized in time. What we agreed on as a department is that we still need to do this target, but because there were delays in the procurement and the finalization of the terms of reference, we agreed as a department that we are not going to leave this target. We are moving it on to the next financial year. So for the year that has just begun, this target is sitting on our APP, so we will be proceeding with it. So we are not leaving it because we didn't do it, but we are carrying it forward. Now, the other target is the set aside. The deputy minister has spoken about it. We are not doing very well when it comes to the set aside. And even the unit that is assisting in the department to track the performance on the set aside, but what we agreed on, because we are struggling to get the information from the provinces and the entities, because when we receive the information, we need to verify. So we agreed that the only source to verify if the companies are either youth or women owned, we need to go on the central system database. So we get the information from the provinces, from the metros, together from the entities, and then we have to go on the central system database and verify the information. So if the provinces and the metros and the entities are not giving us the credible information or the reliable information, we are struggling with the verification. So what we do, and if we don't even receive this information in time, we send out the compliance letters. We say that they did not comply. But what we did further as a national department, that this, we are really taking this target seriously, because we want to see it in the next financial year moving from amber to green. We agreed that this target is going to move from where it is situated, especially because it is linked to the conditional grants
this target will move to the CFO branch so that when the provinces and the metros are submitting their quarterly DORA reports, they need to submit the report on the set aside. Then the team in the CFO branch will be able to do the verification and report when they're doing the quarterly information. And what we agreed on as well, Chair, is that we will be monitoring and reporting it from the CFO branch, and then we'll be moving forward. And then also we have included it on the responsibility on the grants framework for all the four grants. Because what we picked up is that we'll only get the reports from the HSDG and the USDG, but the provinces and the metros are not reporting on the informal settlements upgrading partnership grant. But now we have included it on the grant frameworks for all the four grants, that we need to know in all of our four grants how much are allocated to women-owned and youth-owned. Hence, we are linking this to the conditional grant. So we will be taking that as well, and we have included it on the grant frameworks, and then they are gazetted as part of the bill. Now, the other target that were not achieved are our evaluation study. Is the evaluation study on the OPSCAP, and we're supposed to do the evaluation study on the informal settlements, on the design and implementation of the evaluation on the informal settlements partnership grant. So what we did and what we delayed, even though these two targets, these evaluations, we have planned them, they were part of our procurement plan that was submitted to National Treasury beginning of the financial year. But we know that during this financial year, when the year started, is that year when we had that we need to halt the procurement. So when we halted the procurement because of the Concord ruling, as government, because the 2017 triple PFA our policies were challenged in court, and we had to halt the procurement, so we delayed. And as a department, when we came back now to start processing, even though end of the fourth quarter, we have already appointed the service provider to do the informal settlements evaluation together with the OPSCAP, but when we close the quarter, these evaluation studies are not done, so we are going to carry them forward because we've already appointed the service providers. So for the new financial year, we are going to proceed with these two evaluation studies. Now, on program three, the informal settlements and emergency program. Program three, members we are sitting here reflecting an ember. The ember is not because we did not do what we are supposed to do. Yes, we did support the provinces and metros when it comes to the implementation and the upgrading of informal settlements. However, one of the activities that we were supposed to do during quarter four was to approve the business plan. When the internal audit wanted to verify this target, because of the business plan of the three provinces that were not approved, and as well as the delays, because when the provinces and the metros submitted the business plans, they were not credible. A lot of discussions were done, the business plans were sent back, and the quarter ended whilst we were still discussing the business plan. So as we closed the quarter, the approval letters were not submitted to the provinces and the metros. So what I'm saying is the business plans were not approved. However, subsequent to the end of the quarter, the business plan were approved. However, the business plan for Eastern Cape, Gauteng and Free State were not approved, and it's what the acting DG was commenting on, to say that we are having discussions because we don't want to see the beneficiaries struggling or suffering because we are not upgrading, whereas we've got the funding. However, we need a credible plan. We need to see what is it that we are really funding so that the flow of the funds can start. So we are engaging these provinces. And the one target that I indicated that we are sitting as weight is the agreement when it comes to the mining communities. Honorable Chairperson and members, I think here we over-targeted. We said as a department, for quarter four, we are going to come up with 6 agreements for the mining communities. However, out of the 6, we were able to produce 4. 2 were not, two were developed, and then 4 were not developed. When we sat down and looked at this to find out what is the main reason we couldn't meet the 6, that's when we picked up that maybe we over-targeted. We underestimated the work that comes in when we have to negotiate with the mining houses. So we said, going forward for the new year, because we didn't target, but we still need these agreements because we've got the mining towns. We need to have the agreement with the mining houses so that we can do the implementation of the mining towns program. We said as a department, we need to get additional capacity to assist us. So this target, we are not letting it go. We are carrying it to the next financial year. However, we are going to appoint additional professionals that knows what is it exactly that we need to start when we are negotiating with these mining houses so that they can assist us so that next day we meet the target. Now, the other target that we are sitting as EMBA, chairperson and members, is the title deeds. I know that we have not been doing very well throughout the years when it comes to this target, but the biggest contribution or the deviation in this target was when we closed the quarter, Eastern Cape, Western Cape and Northwest, they submitted inaccurate information. And when we wanted to verify, because they're supposed to submit the listing and the supporting documentation. So when we want to look at that information, it was not agreeing. Hence, we are sitting as EMBA. But when we look at the annual, we have reconciled the figures. So when we come back and present our annual performance report, we will be able to give the correct version because the information subsequent to that has been submitted. But we are saying as a department, going forward, we will make sure and keep on monitoring this target of the title deed because it's one of our priority. The other title deed that the other indicator or target that we are setting as EMBA is the job opportunities. This is a new target. So we are tracking it by requesting the information from the provinces. However, when we finalize for this quarter, the information from Mpumalanga was not supporting the figures that were submitted by the province. So what we picked up was that there was a loophole within the system. Number one, this was a new target. Number two, there was no standardization because we did not have a format on how the provinces are supposed to report to the national department. Hence, we struggled with Mpumalanga. So we are saying, what are the corrective measures that we are putting forward? As a department, we will issue a directive for this new financial year with the standardization format for the reporting on the jobs created. But what we did also as well for the annual performance report, now this target is going to change because we were able to sit down with Mpumalanga and get the correct information. But that one is going to be reflected on the annual performance. But for the quarter, we are still reflecting it as an EMBA because of the Mpumalanga province. I will be moving right on to the budget and the expenditure thereof. So when we look at the budget and the expenditure, we are now talking about the cumulative. The figures that we are presenting here, chairperson and members, this is what we will be submitting today to the Auditor General. We had a meeting yesterday with the Audit Committee. We presented our financial statements to the Audit Committee. The Audit Committee was happy with our financial statements. They are recommending them that we can submit it to the Auditor General and National Treasury today, as well as the annual performance report, our APP, the performance on our APP as well. We are submitting the two. So we are submitting the part of the annual performance report as well as the financial statement. So this is the performance as of the financial year that has ended on the 31st of March. Out of the 33.5 billion that we had, 620 million was not spent, so we are sitting at 98%. When we go down on the economic classification, that's where we are able to see the variances, where the understanding is sitting at. So on the compensation of employees, 51 or 52 million when I'm rounding it off, it was not spent. And this was due to the vacancies that we're sitting with that were not filled as we close the year. Unfortunately, there is no rollover when it comes to compensation of employees. The 52 million will revert back to the revenue fund. On goods and services, 184 or 185, when I'm rounding it off, was not spent. The reason for the underspending on the goods and services that we are putting forward is what I said earlier on when I was talking about the, our evaluations that were not performed because of the delays in the procurement and the Concord ruling. Because when we start the year, we prepare the procurement plan, we submit the procurement plan to National Treasury, and we track the performance of the procurement plan. And the goods and services, the majority of our goods and services are linked to the programs and are linked to the procurement plan. So we did not perform on the procurement plan because when the Concord ruling came in, I think we stayed without procuring. The National Treasury issued a circular that we can request a deviation. But I think the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer was overwhelmed. They took forever to approve the deviations. Even when they approved the deviations, I think we're already in the second quarter of the financial year. And when now they came back around the second towards the third quarter, they said, okay, we can proceed with the procurement. Then we proceeded with the procurement. Then come January, now there was a new regulation that kicked in on the 17th of January, 2023, which means that the 2017, they were repealed. Now, as departments, now all of us in government, we had to come up with new procurement policies that are talking to the new procurement regulation that was published around the 17th of January. So these are the issues that made us to underspend. And I meant to believe that we are not the only department that has underspent, because what I've just referred to, it talks to the whole government at large, because all of us, we had to do what I'm reporting on today. So that is the underperformance on our goods and services. When we looked at what is it that we can roll over, we found that we couldn't save the funds. Unfortunately, the funds had to revert back to the revenue fund. On the transfers and subsidies, I will talk to the underperformance of the three on the 375. And one of the underperformance that we are reflecting there is payments to capital assets. But however, I won't say it's an underperformance because this is need basis. We will procure laptops and computers if there is a need. So we put down that we are going to utilize 19 million, however, only 10 million. So from where we are sitting as finance, we are saying it's a saving because we cannot continue and procure computer equipment if there's no need. So we did not get the branches requesting. So it means that what we have procured, they were still in a good working conditions. The next is breaking down now, is taking out the transfers and subsidies, and then is talking to the operational expenditure, which is the 961 million, and then we are sitting at 74%. I won't dwell much because I've spoken to it in detail. Now, our transfers and grants, the one that I said I'll talk to, the under expenditure. The under expenditure here is because of our Schedule 7 grants. The ones I've highlighted in yellow, the Provincial Emergency Housing Grant and the Municipal Emergency Housing Grant. When we know that during the year, because of the Eastern Cape and the KZN disasters, National Treasury gave us additional funding to assist in the emergencies because our annual allocations, they were given to KZN after the April disasters in KZN. So we received additional funding. Unfortunately, 369 from the Provincial Emergency Housing Grant was not requested, and from the municipal is the 2.5 million. So unfortunately, this, they work on an application basis. we couldn't transfer them. They are not committed. They have to go back to the revenue fund. The other line item is what the deputy minister spoke about, which is the scholarship program, whereby we are sitting with the 3 million that we could not spend. And I think that we need to do better as a department. Then hence the DM has spoken about the expo, so that we can now start looking and then revising our scholarship policy on what is it that we can do so that we can spend on this particular line item. Now, for the quarter under review, we have paid all the invoices. However, we are bringing this light because on our annual report, we've got 31 invoices that we will be reflecting for the month of June, July, and August that we did not pay in time. But we are saying out of the total invoices that we process as finance for the year under review, it was 5,139 invoices were not paid in time. But we can look what we did as finance after we have realized that there was that non-compliance from September for the 6 months. Consistently, we made sure that we complied because we did not take kind. We had a word with the colleagues. We put the controls in place that we need to ensure that invoices are paid within 30 days, and that's what we have been doing. I'll be dwelling now on the individual grants. I'm going to start with the Human Settlement Development Grant. This is the final figure that we'll be reflecting. We have agreed with the provinces, and out of the 14.6 billion, we are sitting with 973 million that is not spent, which constitutes 7%. And we have highlighted the underperformance is in Free State. Free State, they have an allocation of 739. Even though we have reduced, because initially it was 813 million, we reduced by 100 million. They could not spend. 495 to round it off was not spent as of end of the financial year. They have submitted their rollover request, and we know the challenges of the Free State province throughout the years. We have been talking about what actually happened, and Minister has been intervening, assisting us with the intervention in the Free State province. But when we close the year, they've requested the rollover. National Treasury is busy looking at that rollover request. The same as the KwaZulu-Natal, we know what actually happened in KwaZulu-Natal. Because of those floods that happened around April, the first quarter, we lost the first quarter because they couldn't access their projects because of the devastating floods. Hence, they're sitting with the 360 million. National Treasury has came back to us. They said they're happy with the rollover approval in the KZN because they can see some commitments. And when we looked at Western Cape, Western Cape as well is sitting at 104. Even in Western Cape province, we know that there are changes in the Western Cape province. They are sitting with 104. However, they have requested the rollover approval. We are still waiting for the communication from the National Treasury, because in some of this, all of this rollover requests, National Treasury, they give us the request for our inputs. They want to find out whether we are supporting. So we said as a department, we are supporting the 970. Three rollover approval because we don't want to see the funds reverting back to the revenue fund. However, these funds are based on commitment. That's what Treasury came back to us and said, even though you are supporting the rollovers, but we are looking at whether they meet the requirements of Section 22 of the Division of the Revenue Fund. So that's what National Treasury is busy with. We looked at the numbers, but here we're just putting on the houses and the size. Say, how are we looking? Even though these numbers are not the final audited figures, but these are what the provinces said they will give us as per the business plan on the HSDG. They said they're going to deliver 28,896 on the servicing of sites. However, they've delivered 30,874. The reason why we are looking as if we're over delivered on the servicing of sites is because of the Northwest province. What Northwest province did is they took all the servicing of sites, the target, they put it under the informal settlement. They didn't put it on the HSDG. But when they were servicing the site, when the team went there to verify, they found out that what the Northwest province is reflecting as an informal settlement. It's not necessarily an informal settlement project. It's an IRGP project. Hence, we had to report those targets, those sites under the HSDG. There's, even the funding had to be reversed. So the funding of this site now is sitting on the HSDG. Now, when you look at the Northern Cape are doing very well when it comes to the servicing of site. Mpumalanga is doing very well. However, we need to indicate that Mpumalanga and Northern Cape, they did receive additional funding, and additional funding they had to show when they're doing the delivery. However, Limpopo is not doing well, 26%, and Free State Province. So the financial and the non-financial for the Free State Province is linked. You can see they're not doing very well. Their funds is not spent. They did, there's no work on the ground. They did not deliver on what they said they will deliver. But when you look at Limpopo, Limpopo, they've overachieved on the houses. The reason being is when they realized that they are struggling when it comes to the servicing of site, they wrote to the transferring officer. They said, instead of us losing the funds back to the fiscus, we are requesting that we shift funds from the non-performing projects, which are sites, so that we can escalate the delivery of the rural program. Hence, you can see that the business plan was 4,522, but they have over-delivered on the rural program, which is 5,103. I'll move on the informal settlements upgrading partnership grant. As well on this grant, the funds that were not spent, you can see that out of the 4.1 billion, 509 was not spent, ranging from the highest on the under expenditure is Free State. So the challenges of the Free State, they cut across all the grants, even on the performance. And then when you look at Gauteng Province, they are reflecting 100% expenditure. But what we are doing as human settlements, and it's what we agreed at the minimum that we had, is we are not going to take 100% expenditure and agree on 100% expenditure. What we are doing, we are looking at 100% expenditure vis-a-vis the work on the ground. So we want to see, where did the funds go to? Are any funds that are sitting with the other entities? If so, we need a reconciliation of those funds. So this is what we are doing. We are aware that Gauteng Province, they are utilizing the other organs of state to implement projects on their behalf. We have requested them to submit a reconciliation and the performance as we close the year, because the 100% should be linked to the work on the ground. We are doing the same for all the provinces that have indicated the 100% expenditure as well. On the provincial emergency housing grant, this is what we have transferred to the two provinces, KZN, the 342 for the April disasters, and the 84 million for the Eastern Cape for the April disasters as well. And those are the expenditures. On the urban settlement development grant, this one's, they are on the 9 months. They are left with 3 months before end of their financial year. So when we went to MINMEC, what we agreed on is for these 3 months, we need to zoom in on the issues reflecting the metros, because the financial year of the provinces has ended. Now we need to look at the metros so that we can fix all the challenges that the metros are struggling with, so that when we start the new year of the metros, we would have dealt with all the matters and the challenges. So you can see the performance of the metros is not satisfactory. The team is out. The project managers and all the teams are out. They're visiting each and every metro. They are looking at the projects, because what Minister and MINMEC said, they said that they want to know what are the project-related challenges. We hear about all the challenges that we've been told, political, and we know what is actually happening, but now we are more interested in the project challenges. We want to know what is actually happening to make 5 metros with 9 months, with 3 months left into their year end, that's still sitting under 50%. So this is what we are doing. We are going to have a special MINMEC that is dwelling more on the metros, so that we know what are these challenges that we are facing, what is it that we can do as human settlement sector to overcome those challenges so that we can deliver on the ground. So as well, it talks to the same as on the informal settlement upgrading partnership grant for the metros as well. The next is the municipal emergency housing grant. Throughout the year under review, we have received the applications from Upongola local municipality, Alfred Nzo district municipality, the V Waters local municipality, the city of Joburg, and the city of Cape Town. We have transferred that money, and we can see that some of the municipalities, they haven't finished spending that money, but the team is busy closing, because we know that for the financial year, we have changed the approach when it comes to our housing emergencies and the disasters. So as I'm about to finish, what are we saying as the Department of Human Settlements? We are saying we have made observations and the conclusions that we are putting forward that. What is it that we can do to improve, given that we are starting the new financial year? We are saying we need to improve on monitoring of the performance, especially the job creation. We have agreed that we are going to come up with a framework that we are going to send to all the provinces so that we standardize the reporting on the job creation. As we have spoken about the set aside as well, we need to monitor. We have included it on the grant frameworks. We will be monitoring this closely. And then as well as the title deeds, we are putting a closer look on the title deed. We are saying again, because most of our targets are linked to the sector partners, we need to strengthen our collaboration with the sector partners in order for us to accelerate to access and the performance to deliver in our PDAs. So we are starting to have discussions then with all the sector partners so that we plan together, we are able to direct the investments in these gazetted PDAs. But we are saying as well, we need the specialized capacity for us to be able to meet some of our agreements or of our target that we are carrying forward, because we sat down and looked at the weaknesses and say, the weaknesses that we are sitting with is we don't have a specialized capacity. So we are going to get specialized capacity to assist us so that all the targets that we are carrying forward, we will be meeting them in the new year. Then we are saying that we need to improve when it comes to the parliamentary questions. Hence, we have put forward the SOPs with the provinces and our entities. Then we need to fast track the intergovernmental relations so that we can improve on the rezoning of land. Now, for provinces, we are saying we are noting the poor performance. However, improvements can be made if provinces are to deliver in line with the approved business plan. We are approving the business plan. We have requested the provinces. What we are putting forward to the portfolio committee is what we put forward and adopted at our mid-make to say, because we are at the last year of the MTSS, we urge all provinces to deliver in line with the approved plans. We need to provide the transfers for late in the year, because when we close the year, we need to account for all the funds vis-a-vis the work. So when the provinces are planning to utilize the other organs of state to implement projects on their behalf, they need to make sure that they do it early in the year. National Department, for this financial year that we have just started, we are starting with the interventions early. We are not going to wait for the second quarter, because usually we'll say we are waiting for September. We are saying we have started now, as the acting DG has said. We are starting with Free State. We have started with Gauteng when it comes to informal settlements. We are starting with the Eastern Cape when it comes to, so we are going to do early intervention. Now we are requesting, we said provinces, all of the provinces across the board, they need to comply. If they are not complying, we agree that we are not going to give them the money. That's the way it's going to be. If we pick up the non-compliances, including the reporting on the sector side, because now it's a DORA provision. If they don't, we are not going to transfer. We are also aging, because we need to know our MTSF target. We are also saying we need accurate data. We are urging them, we are requesting them that we need to start utilizing the HSF, because we need to start counting on how have we performed and check on the MTSF. Now, what we are also saying to the metros is, we understand what is actually happening in the metros, the instabilities that are happening in all our metros, but service delivery is at key. We requested metros that can they please go back and prioritize the delivery, the service delivery. then they need to request assistance and when it's needed. Minister is there to assist, and MINMEC will be able. They said, we are wanting, if you need assistance, come and tell us, we'll be able to intervene politically. So, Chairperson and members, I think that will be the end of my submission. Apologies if I took forever. We are recommending the Portfolio Committee to note the performance of the department on the quarter four. Thank you so much. Minister, I'm handing over.
Now, let's hand over that to the chair. I think we are fine. We'll take questions and comments.
Thank you very much. Mr. Zeki.
No, Chen, I'll check out when I learn to discuss this.
I've just experienced load shedding. If I can lose, if I lose network, Mr. Tsek, you can take over the chairing part. Thank you very much. Can I identify hands that want to engage on the presentation? Honorable Heron, Honorable Mpiti, Honorable Magasini, Honorable Butelezi, Honorable Malemaja, for now, those are the hands. And Honorable Sikai. Start, Honorable Heron.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, not directly in response to the presentation necessarily, but because you can see signs of what I'm going to ask about. At a previous meeting and also in a written question to the Minister, I asked about the work of the POLIT, the Policy and Legal Resource Team that was appointed, and the appointment came to an end with some work having been done. And I think in the policy development space, you can see some of the outcomes of that work that was done. But we did agree that the work of the POLIT was going to be presented to the committee, which hasn't happened. And I think we agreed that at least 6 months ago. So really just in response to the presentation as a whole and the need, in my view, to restructure our comprehensive public housing program, it would be useful to understand what the POLIT achieved, whether a new POLIT has been appointed, what their mandate is, and some of the policy work and proposed changes that arose or rise out of the previous POLIT's work. So if we can just get a response, or maybe if we can just agree that it's now quite urgent that we receive a presentation and amended and what work they did, and how it's influencing the new foundation for public housing or human settlement in South Africa. Thank you.
My apologies, Chair, to come in. I lost the member. Which pilot is he talking about, Chair? If you can assist so that we are able to capture and start preparing to respond.
Chair, should I respond?
Yes.
I'm talking about the work that was done by the POLERT, P-O-L-E-R-T, which is an abbreviation for the Policy and Legal Expert Team. Policy and Legal Expert Team that was appointed by the Department of Human Settlements. Their term came to an end in, I think, 2021 or 2022. There was going to be a call for a new appointment of the POLERT. Their work was to prepare or analyze the existing policy framework in South Africa.
No, I thank you, member. I thought you said pilot.
No, Polert. P-O-L-E-R-T.
No. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Honorable Mpiti, it's your turn now.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair, and a very good morning to honorable members as well as the Department of Human Settlements. To first appreciate the presentation as it has been presented, just a number of questions on my side to the department. You know, Chair, one thing that I really would perhaps ask is when we look at issues around unfinished houses, particularly in provinces as well as municipalities, what type of strategy is around that particular issue? Because in as much as I do see the targets on various quarterly reports that are being provided and that are being conducted to obviously see the progress of some of these programs, what measures has the department taken to firstly, one, understand how wide is the issue around houses that get built and are not finished? And I say this because we've seen already a report that is coming around the Free State of the fact that there are 11,000 houses that have not been finished and simply have been left. And I don't think that is only happening in that particular province. It's happening across provinces. And so I would like to know what type of strategy is being put in place, firstly, to have an idea around how many of these houses across the country are unfinished. And of course, this has a cost implication because to simply build houses and leave them unfinished is something that that really is a waste of money, because what is happening in these communities is that once these houses begin to be built and they are not finished, people start to then break down the bricks and take the bricks for themselves, take out the windows and the doors. And then, in fact, that then becomes a project that, that doesn't go forward. So I think that is something that is important to follow up. Additionally to that, just to say that, the minister had visited Soweto a few weeks ago and pointed out the issue around the ongoing issue around corruption, particularly with beneficiaries that are either being asked to pay certain amounts to move up the list or asked to pay a certain amount to move into a home. What type of strategy has the department come up with, particularly to deal with this particular issue? Because it is a widespread issue, and I do believe it requires some form of collaboration with law enforcement, some form of task team that can really start to zone into these particular projects that are being manipulated, and in turn are really giving a bad name to the department itself. And I do think there needs to be some form of strategy that can be put in place, particularly looking forward together with other stakeholders and entities within the department to be able to deal with these issues. Because these issues, they are huge on the ground, Mr. and the department. They are huge on the ground. And, to simply say that, the public must simply be aware of the bad actors in that ecosystem is not enough. We need to identify individuals who more likely or not have some form of connection to the department, have some form of connection either to the provincial government or the municipality, but there is a connection there, and we need to zone in and be able to effectively deal with individuals that are really frustrating the process and are frustrating millions of people who are reliant on this department to provide housing. So I would really just would like to understand that particular part. Again, I want to raise the issue around the quality of housing, which continues to be a major, major challenge. We've seen and we've communicated also to the HBRC to say that, you know, there are housing officials, housing inspectors who continue to approve low quality housing. And I'm sure the minister was able to see that when she visited the particular projects, the Lufering project and the Fairoff project, because in those spaces you see how these houses have been built and are beginning to crumble, whilst the beneficiaries have only moved in for maybe 2 months or 3 months, and then you see the ceiling starting to fall apart, you see the floors starting to have cracks, the windowsills are breaking. So this intent doesn't deal with the issue of housing if, in fact, the houses are of low quality and are falling apart. So what exactly are we going to do to deal with that particular aspect? Is there a plan around that particular issue? And then the next one is just to say around the points that were made in the presentation about provinces that may or that are not maybe meeting the requirements or the targets that they, particularly when they receive an allocation from the department, are not meeting those targets. What is the way forward, particularly on those issues? Because we've seen, and the minister will maybe speak on it, around the issue of Khayelitsha, and the back and forth that has taken place, where, you know, there's been various points made about allocations being given towards the end of the financial year, which didn't restrict targets being met. So can we perhaps have some clarity, Minister, from you around those particular issues? Is it an issue of allocations being given towards the end of the financial year, or simply an issue of targets simply not being prioritized or being met, which would really give us a better indication around some of the provinces that have been cited in the presentation? And then lastly, Chair, just to say that around the questions, I do understand that this particular target is from a previous quarter, but I do want to say that, you know, since I've joined the committee, I have submitted questions, and I do realize that there has been a slow pace in responding to those particular questions. So I note the presentation in saying that they will, you know, it's about sourcing the information from provinces and from municipalities, etc. But to simply say that you are going to improve without really, you know, without those particular improvements being seen, what exactly are you going to do? Because as public reps or members of parliament, our responsibility is to ask these questions and get answers, particularly as they relate to constituencies that we are responding to and trying to give feedback onto. So I just wanted to make that note and to say that that is a very important aspect that I don't think should be a target that is not met, because it also stops our particular role to do oversight effectively when we do not receive questions on time. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matheson.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation. I think there's a problem in Free State, Minister, and you acknowledge that there's nothing that they said they will do, they're able to do. What is your plan, just maybe to establish, because you've did it in Nelson Mandela and Mangaung Municipal in Metro, to have a war room? Don't you think it's high time to assist to have a war room in the provincial department? Because generally, the municipality, I don't think they'll be able to perform if the province itself does not perform. Because in all the grants that they were, the business plan that they were said they were able to do this, they don't do. And I don't think if you'll wait for your first quarter to go with them, we'll still have this problem if we don't have a war, we don't establish a war room in Free State, because really it's embarrassing what is happening in Free State. And I don't think even the MEC Makume, he can do anything without the assistance of the national. Do you have a plan to have a war room in the Free State and to make sure things are changing in that province? Then Sis Lucy, when she presented, she said the audit committee was happy with the percentage of the expenditure that we are going to submit to the AG today. I was worried because I saw there are two, that is the goods and services, and I think another one, that the payment of the capital, that were 52%. So because of the challenges were affected in all the department, hence the audit committee was happy, or do you think you'll come with a clear plan to intervene, because now you have been given an opportunity to do the things, to use the grant in time? What is the plan? Because if you still have on the capital goods and services and on the payment of the capital assets, we still have 52% and 64%. I don't think it's something that they can celebrate the audit committee. What is your plan to make sure now on the first quarter you're going to rectify the problem that is having on this? Then there were issue of the recommendation of the Auditor General on the issue of the Northwest, on the consequence management and the certificate of debt that we must do on the project that were ever paid. Is there any movement that after the recommendation of the Auditor General on those things, is there anything that is happening, or you are still waiting for them to come back to you and to report? The overpayment of, again, from the Auditor AG report of G Hostel in Welkom, and the overpayment of Kronstadt. How far is the process of the investigation on this project that we have overpaid? And I think in general, there were also a dispute of the Eastern Cape with the Auditor General. Can we get an update on what is the process of these three questions that have raised, especially that were recommended to of the audit of the AG?
Are you done, Honorable Member?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Telez. Honorable Telez. Probably has got a network problem. Can we pass to Honorable Malemaza?
Thank you, Chair. I'm here. Let me also follow suit and welcome the presentation. Greetings to everyone on the platform, the Minister, DM, colleagues, department in entirety. Let me start by saying, the Chair, one is very much happy and not ashamed can go to any public domain with this kind of presentation and say there is much improvement and something that we really need to be proud of. If you are to succeed in every structure, you start by ensuring that you place capable and rightful players at strategic places, if not positions. DM, I want to say the appointment of the HODs in the entire country is a milestone achievement. And we want to congratulate the department on that. The other thing that we have seen that we must keep saying is a good story is how the department is positioning itself for now and for future. Filling of vacancies, women are there in numbers,
young men and women are there with good experience to can assist the department that was at some stage having a lot of progress. DM, I can attest that the department has got women and people living in disability hard at work across the country. And if you go to all or many projects, you'll find out the very same people I spoke about, they are hard at work, they are having subcontractors, they are service providers. They are doing all this because of this element that you mentioned, the 30 days payment made to service providers. Another good achievement. If you really want to succeed, we need to applaud you for this and implementing it. This assists the upcoming entrepreneur in the department who are assisting us to reach all the targets. Another good story is to move from the 58 to 72 achievement on the quarter under review. That is a huge improvement. We really need to be happy with that. Now, what also makes us to be more comfortable is the transparency and the honesty of the department, especially where you feel you didn't achieve. But what encourages one is the spirit and the attitude to say, we did not do good here, but here is how we intend to improve. And that spirit is what we are lacking. Now we have it here, and we think that is a very good spirit that needs to be encouraged on. Chairperson, whilst one is there, we'll want the department to take us into confidence. How best will they improve, especially on the following that they have indicated that they have some shortfalls that will be on the title deed? We will want to get the plan and how fast they can improve on that to ensure that really this thing becomes issue of the past, it flows so that people, they get their title deed in time. The other one is on jobs. We will like the department to share with us what strategy do they have in place to ensure that whilst we have improved in all sectors, we also don't leave this one behind. The other aspect from the chairperson that we must employ the department is be able to deal with the matter before the matter arises. The manner you stopped the procurement of the computers, knowing very well that you cannot buy something that is not in need for now. You will only buy when it's in need. One wish it can go across that where there's no need, let us not overspend unnecessary. But all in all, Comrade Chairperson, one is happy with the presentation and is noting it and wish that the department can be really be supported so to continue to do the good work. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malematsa, Honorable Sukhoi. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable, Honorable Sukhoi. Honorable Buthelezi, are you able to hear us?
Okay.
Honorable Buthelezi. Sabelo?
Yes, Chairperson.
Can you be able to call Honorable Buthelezi?
Yes, Chair.
Just to understand what is the difficulty.
Okay.
Yes. Honorable Sukhoi, can you proceed?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. And also thank you to the department for very clear presentation. More especially at this quarter, which says as to how far have we performed, areas of performance, areas of challenges, and how best do we think we can resolve these problems. Housing, Honorable Minister and the DM, is everything to our people. All the services emanate from a house. Many people don't realize that when we speak economic growth, for the majority of our people, economic growth is to have a house. So that you have water, you have electricity, you have good engineering services, you've got all those issues. Then there comes the other economic matters that would support and build up to the family. I think the department is really at work, and I think the areas that when we started, the Honorable Minister in the department, you are really trying to address them and be able also starting from the organizational structure stabilization, because that's where the problem is. If your structure is not stabilized, you are not going to implement all your wishes that you want to implement. Thank you that you have resolved some of those areas in the structure. The acting DG presents a matter of sector investment that are not achieved, which according to her presentation, it delays or undermines the progress of housing development. In reality, to say, we cannot be able to put this house without you. And then that other you, if he does not perform, the house cannot get to the ground. I am not sure as to how far has the department mastered this issue of district development model. The two issues that I think would undermine that model, which I really appreciate, is the lack of regulated structure for all those departments that need to participate. In a project specific, it should not be general. If we want agriculture, what to participate in this project of the houses 100, and these are the needs that we want from this department. These issues need to be regulated, and a contractual commitment needs to be signed by those departments, because surely you are handicapping and stifling a development of another department, because this is not your interest. This is not your priority area. So there should be a regulated way to implement this development model and contractual commitment with other departments, so that a project specific don't get delayed in the process. I just want to sponsor that, Chair, so that in your meetings with your colleagues, this matter needs to be really be consolidated well. The other issue, Chair, is the issue of the sector size. I want to raise this matter because we once raised a need for representation. What is the content of this set aside? What are we talking about? Are we talking about women, young people, a disability that are DACA boys? DACA boys means you are just giving them something that has got nothing to do with development growth for them for future. Let me make an example. In some of the areas, HCA would appoint contractors, fully fledged contractors. There will be 10 contractors which are eight men, contractors that are men, as if there are no fully fledged contractors that are women. And those contractors, those eight contractors, will have subcontractors of women. They'll give them two houses. They'll give them two houses to build. What is that? So this set aside performance-related content needs to be qualified to be quality. Should not be quantity. Quality. We want those women to be developers. We want them to be developers. They must buy four telephones. They must have four telephones. They must have cars. As Namavile Mqolo, because they are given dignity by their government. So that this set aside must not just be a quantity issue, to the quality for their development. The other issue, Chair, is the issue of the what is that I wanted to ask? I think those are the few issues, Chair. Sorry, thank you, Chairperson. Those three issues that I wanted to raise to say, let's just get to the content and quality of what we want, so that we don't speak in tongues and undermine our people that we want to develop and subject them to the big contractors and they don't grow. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sikhai. Honorable Butele.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much, Chair, for bearing with me. My network is not being very kind to me. And you would please do bear with me if perhaps whilst I got kicked out, maybe something might have been already been answered. But I just basically wanted to ask how the department plans on shortening their turnaround time. Their turnaround building time for the houses for the military vets. My second question was about gender mainstreaming, and I think during the presentation that was answered, so I will not pose it again. My last one then, Chair, would be what on-site safety plans do they have in place at the construction sites, particularly to curb the loss of building materials due to theft? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Seki.
Chair, maybe taking from Osnensi, Malamich. I must say the department is showing energy. And that energy can only be assigned to a synergy between oversight and implementation. I think it's a reflection of saying the roles of each one is understood and understood not to be in conflict, but in trying to make sure that we play our roles as efficient as possible. You can even hear from the voice of Auslusi that indeed she's not doubting what she's presenting. Thank you for that. Chair, I think quarter four is the same as annual report, like what the department is saying they are going to be sending this report to the Auditor General. There are three policies that I would propose, Chair, that probably the department can create a space, or we as a committee can create a space for the department to present. Probably it will assist us for future implementation so that these issues are not always at amber or in red. The issue of land acquisition, Chair, the process of starting, how do they start up to the end where they conclude it, up to the end where they establish a township and where people can receive title deeds. If that process could be shared with us. Again, I think the title deed matter was shared with us many times, the process. But I'm not sure where is it holding. So probably we're being presented on activities rather than policy of dealing with the title deeds. Maybe I could request that to be number two in terms of policy. And the mining towns, an expectation from a person like me, for this to be mentioned mining towns, it does not mean it is the responsibility of the department as a whole. But it's like the department taking this responsibility to themselves without involving the mining. Again, Chair, those three items, in my view, I would propose that if the department can share, not today, but maybe at a specific time, policies around the three. And I'm excited, Chair, as well, to hear that the department itself is saying that on conditional grants, where the provinces and metro municipalities are not performing, they will not release money for those. It's also about consequence management. And I think this is one of the consequence management that is very high, and it should be supported and be implemented. Also, to a layman, when you say you have performed or spent 98%, when you present it in percentage, it looks that no, the 2% is something that can be, you know, a tolerance of 5% and 5% above. I think that can be allowed. But immediately when you convert that percentage of 2% to 600 million, it becomes something different. So we really hope that we are moving towards 100% expenditure, which you are very close to it based on the previous performances and other areas that you have not implemented. And I think if you look at the municipalities, they are so red. And I think it's another area of focus, which Jason Nancy was asking. Your relationship with the policy of DDM is quite important on such non-performance of expenditure. So those are the few points, if you could hear. They are not more than of the questions, but rather of emphasis to say, let's continue the good work, but make sure that we don't continuously re-carry these non-performance or 100% performance of title, this land acquisition and mining times. Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you very much, Honorable Seki. Honorable Sfai, your hand's still up. Is it the legacy hand? The legacy hand, Chair, thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Just to add the questions
which needs more elaboration, and join members to welcome the presentation and the performance, the good performance that we are seeing this financial year. In the previous financial year, you were at 51. Today, what you are at 71. That is a good progress. But again, as a portfolio committee, would wish you to do 100%. Which is but we want to acknowledge the good progress that you have made. Just on two things adding to questions on the oversight of entities, I can see it's 100% implemented. Can we elaborate what is that? Because when we interacted with Auditor General, one of the things that he raised was that the department identify issues with with entities or provinces, but you don't follow up on those issues. When you refer to 100%, we just refer to that engagement, or you are referring to you have engaged, they brought the feedback, they've corrected the situation. The second issue is on the 100% on the implementation of the action plan. Are we referring to only for the department, or we are referring the even for the entities or your implementers in general, that all of them they've responded positively to the irregularities that the Auditor General has raised? So those are the two questions that I wanted to to understand. I'll hand it over to you, Minister, and to.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honourable members. Let me start. There's just one that I need. Sepiso will come in and answer in the areas together with Rashni and Nonhlanhla. I think let me start with them, and also around the issue. I think Paulette, or I misunderstood what you were saying. Paulette, we did renew the contract, honourable member reappointed, but the team will explain, and I'll come back at the end. And then just get the team to come back. Maybe let me start with Sepiso. Sepiso is acting DDG in affordable housing.
Thank you very much, Minister. Good morning to the chairperson and the members of the portfolio committee and the colleagues. I will be addressing, I think, two matters. One would relate to the issue around the projects that are not completed and remain incomplete and unoccupied, which in the department we have looked into after the realization that there are a lot of these projects throughout the country that are not being completed. And as a department, we embarked on an exercise of a review whereby we looked into these projects having been elevated by the minister into the priority, into her priority program. And we did an analysis which emanated into a diagnostic report around what we now call block projects. And most of these projects, as they lie there unoccupied, the reasons for that, you would find that sometimes it's because of the poor performance from the contractors that has led to those projects not being completed. And the contractors are not able to complete the projects. Some of them are projects that have failure in terms of structures, and NHBRC would have stopped such projects from continuity. But some would be that due to the inflation and increase in material costing, contractors are not just able to complete those projects. One of the things that have been done is that these projects, some of them, it's a financing issue that the projects needs to be, some are completed, but just needs to be verified in terms of structure and such that then the happy letters are issued and beneficiaries can be allocated to those projects. These projects remain a challenge as well in terms of security because our grants do not provide for securing of such properties. And it becomes even costly going forward to rectify because of vandalism that occurs around these projects. So basically in the analysis, what has come out is that we are working together with the provinces to make sure that those projects that have been unoccupied and uncompleted have been grouped together. And it is a priority that we are monitoring at the moment to say that with the provinces, and the work that has been done with the additional capacity that has been attached to these programs from the previous war room. We are working together with provinces to make sure that they are prioritized. They are now included in the business plans, and those that can then be completed have been put on the business plans for the 2023-24, as well as 24-25 financial years for completion. Some of them would be a matter of getting beneficiaries and the necessary from the NHBRC, and we are working very closely with the provinces to make sure that they are addressed and there is going to be activity on those projects. So basically per province, we are also appointing professional resource teams that are going to work together with provinces to make sure that there are intervention from the national department, that some of the blockages that we are seeing, we are able to address that. And those whereby it's a matter of financing, I think there has been an increase in the subsidy and the retrospective application where possible in terms of policy that would also be applied. But we are working closely with the provinces and through the resource teams that we are having to make sure that we provide the necessary interventions for unblocking of those particular projects. We have also submitted the list and the report to the chairperson of the portfolio committee in terms of our last engagements around these projects. But there is intervention from the national department together with the provinces and the relevant other stakeholders that deal with integrity of structures to make sure that we are indeed fast tracking and are able to put it on the implementation program in the business plans so that they are addressed and completed. So in the next financial year, we will be coming to the portfolio committee with a quarterly reporting on those projects. In this current financial aid, will be around 320 all over the country, and will then be reporting on their progress in terms of implementation going forward. The issue around the title deeds still remains a problem for us as the department, and we have acknowledged that. And with regards to that, we are developing a acceleration and delivery strategy around the title deeds. And we have reported previously that we have also partnered with Vulindlela to make sure that we are able to really understand what the challenges are and to have them on board to assist us as the department to unblock some of the challenges that we are having. Yes, indeed, some would be policy related. And I think DDG, acting DDG Buthelezi will then allude to some of those policy challenges. What is within us as the department is that we are putting in place a process whereby when we register these projects into the business plans, we have then discussed with provinces that we need ready projects so that we make sure that we kept the backlog. And in terms of ready projects, we mean that projects that have township registers opened, projects whereby there is bulk infrastructure, so that we make sure that we do not really have a spiraling backlog in terms of especially the new projects, but we are able to keep the backlog and approve projects that are ready to hit the ground, projects that have met all conditions precedent, and therefore whatever units that we produce, we will be able to issue titling and therefore be able to then deal with those pre-94 and where beneficiaries, we are still sorting out some the beneficiary issues. And we are able to therefore make sure that we do not have the backlog getting out of control. With regards to the mining towns and the target that we have not met, yes, indeed, I think the CFO has indicated that we do not really have enough. We do have capacity, but it is not adequate capacity for us to be dealing with the number of agreements that we had anticipated that would be able to fulfill, which is six. But in terms of the two, I think that is the indication that, yes, indeed, as a department, we have not been able to meet the target. We are working with the mining houses in these programs. It's not only the department. We're working with the mining houses. We're working with the municipalities. We're working with the HDA and the provinces to make sure that these partnerships are put in place. And what we have done as well, we are adding on additional capacity as the department in terms of resources that will come in terms of transactional advising that will assist the department in fast tracking and making sure that even when we conclude these agreements with the mining towns, we do have the capacity to make sure that the delivery, the development delivery within these areas is realized as anticipated. And we are at the moment appointing a PFT that will come and assist the department with the partnership transactional capacity of concluding these agreements, but also for monitoring the implementation of the agreements that we would be having with the mining towns. But we are working together with them, but it's only to conclude these agreements and make sure that we are then able to effect them as a department and for us to even realize the benefits thereof for our mining communities. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Sepiso. Rajni?
Good morning, Minister. Good morning, GM, and good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'll deal with three areas. Just to add what Minister has indicated, the work of the Palette is continuing. The new Palette was appointed, and the work that was previously done by the previous Palette is what the new Palette is busy with, consolidating the areas that was started by the previous team. Chair, there's quite a significant amount of work that was done, and I think once we're at an appropriate state of being able to provide a consolidated and draft set of policies, we'll bring it to the committee, as indicated also by Honourable Member, that we maybe need to also focus on the land acquisition policy program, as well as the township establishment and the various programs that inform that. It would probably be appropriate to bring all of this, the whole set of policy documents for presentation to the committee once we've managed to consolidate it. But just to assure the member that significant work was done, and it has influenced the policy positions that we currently reviewing in terms of how we take it forward and consolidate. There's quite a number of policy areas that were covered previously by the previous team. There was the revision of the quantum. They've made significant input, and so we finalized the quantum in April, and hence we could approve that. I think the team also looked at the rental policies, and it led up to the approval of the norms and standards for rental housing last year. So there's quite a number of areas that was covered. The IBT guidelines that we also wanting to finalize and becomes a critical component of our final policy on alternative building technologies, the agri-villages as well. So, Chair, there's quite a number of areas, and I'm not going to necessarily go through it, but to indicate that once that's finalized and consolidated, we will bring it to Portfolio Committee. Chair, Sabiso covered a lot about the link between the business plans and implementation, but also to maybe emphasize that one of the members indicated how do we intend to fast-track, for example, military housing. And that's the intention for us to appoint our project readiness teams, professional resource teams that are going to be responsible for assisting us on determining and ensuring that what goes into the business plan is ready enough for approval so that we don't sit with a situation where we are not comfortable with how we are approving business plans that we then end up not approving. We believe that by having the professional resources team in place for each of the provinces, they need to interrogate the various inputs that go into project readiness the availability of bulk, the status of township establishment, the appointment of contractors, how provinces are dealing with non-performing contractors. So we'd want these PRTs to be dealing with those issues so that we have projects that come into the business plan that are immediately able to take off. And that will include the projects that relate to military veterans. We make it our criteria in the business plans that when we approve business plans, it has to indicate, one, what how we are addressing our vulnerable groups, including military veterans, as well as whether those projects are ready for implementation. So Chair, we're in the process of allocating those PRTs to the provinces, and they will begin their work so that by the time we have the adjusted business plans in October, we should be able to have well-informed projects that come into the business plan that are ready and that have been interrogated by the PRTs. Chair, just in terms of the DDM model, I agree and I take direction from the members indicating that we need to ensure that there's some kind of regulatory prescript that we're applying so that we're not excluding areas, but we're really focusing on the projects that are ready for implementation but also have impact in our communities. I think it's important that we also take note that there are a number of policies or programs that COCTAS has in terms of DDM, and we will definitely take guidance to ensure that there's relationship to those programs. Chair, I think on the block projects, Tapisa is covered. And in terms of the policy request, as I indicated, we will bring the policy programs as they are ready to portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Rashni. Non-Chancellor.
Thank you very much, Minister. Good morning, Chairperson and Portfolio Committee members. I think mine is based on the question around the entities and what is it that we do in relation to the work that we are saying is 100% compliance in terms of the report. What we do, Chair and members, we will plan together with the entities around areas of performance by the entities. We know we have the six entities and they do have respective mandates that are clearly stipulated in their legislation or in some of the agreements that the minister will enter into with them. We do provide support such that they comply in terms of statutory compliance. They are expected to submit these reports to the department within 30 days at the end of the quarter, such that all the issues of inefficiencies are picked up. We do have forums where we meet on a regular basis just to track whether the work that had been committed has been done. For example, in respect of SHRA, we'll talk up around the issues of performance around what is it that they are supposed to deliver. In instances where it does require support from the department, we will engage around those issues and be able to come up with solutions around what is it that needs to be done. And I think it's the same principle across the entities, given that the mandates, they vary. What CISOs with respect to them being able to respond to the concerns that gets raised around their inability to respond to the disputes, we'll sit down with them and come up with processes which we are saying needs to be implemented such that they are able to respond within the space that the time frame that would have been given to them. It's a whole range of work, but it gets stipulated in terms of the APP. We have a compliance matrix that will go through just to check if all the areas have been covered. And if there are concerns which we hear maybe from the portfolio committee or from members of the public or any other form, we do sit down and come up with action plans in terms of resolving them. I'll stop there, Minister. I'm not sure if there are other areas in terms of the portfolio that I did not hear or respond to. I only had this one more. Thanks.
Thank you. CFO?
Thank you, Minister. I will start by responding to the issue on the AG and the material irregularities if we are having an update. So unfortunately, by the time the AG came, they came to present to the portfolio committee. It was that time when most of the CFOs were busy with closing the year, preparing the financial statements. So the 2 months around April and May, that's a critical time for the CFOs, but most of the CFOs, we did agree that we are going to meet. So today is the last day of preparing all the information we submit. Then from June, we are going to sit down at the CFO forum. We are going to start looking at all the material irregularities on the whole sector that were raised by the AG. So we agreed that we are going to set up a CFO forum. Then we are going to look at the progress to get to date. And we are going to also discuss the action plan, because all of the departments, we are expected as CFOs, after the AG has done an audit, to prepare the action plan and the timelines. So we agreed that we are going to have a CFO forum and then present the action plan. So the issue of the material irregularity, I'm going to deal with it at the CFO forum. Once we have all the update, we'll prepare a report, we'll submit it to the portfolio committee. Apologies that we couldn't attend to it because it was that time of the year when we were busy with the closure, the year end closures at CFOs. Now, on the issue of the set aside, Honorable Supai, when you look at the 2017 regulations, these are the ones that we're talking about, the set aside. The set aside that we are tracking as human settlements, we are saying we are not necessarily tracking the subcontracting. We are saying if we have got a capital budget, conditional grant in human settlements of 30 billion, we are expecting all the role players, provinces, metros, entities, to award a portion of that allocation to women-owned, youth-owned, and people with disabilities. So what we are not saying that we want them to award to any other person and then we need to subcontract. No, we are saying we want awarding of those contracts. So this is what we are tracking. Then when the province says we have awarded to 5 women-owned contractors, we tell them, give us your schedule. Remember at procurement, at supply chain, you have got a contract register. Then they give us that contract register. Once we have that information, because on the contract register, you're going to give us the company name and then how much has been awarded to, and then if ever this person is owned by women, youth, people with disabilities. Once we have that information, we go to the central system database. It's a system that is owned by National Treasury. In that system, that's where we are able to see ownership. We go there and verify. Once we have verified, that's when we can report to say, yes, indeed, Gauteng province has awarded a contract to build 5,000 houses in Soshanguve to a youth-owned or to a women-owned company. So that is what we are taking. And now that National Treasury has repealed the 2017 regulation, so we are not leaving it like that. When we look at the 2023 procurement regulation that now has come into effect, the 2017 are saying, when you are doing the pricing, the 80-20 and the 90-10, when you do the 80-20, 20%, you need to start looking at the specific groups. Even you do 90-10, you look at the specific groups. What are the specific goals? The specific goals are those people. Women, youth, people with disabilities, but National Treasury says, each and every organ of state, they need to have their own procurement policy that is giving out those specific goals. So when they have that policy, what we are tracking now, we are saying, give as provincial departments or entities, give us your specific goals. Let's see how much are you putting aside, how much are you putting as your specific goals. So now with the 2030 regulation, when we go out on a tender, you are saying, we are looking for this particular, but however, we will give certain points if it's a woman owned, if it's a youth owned, if it's a person with a company owned with people with disabilities. So we are able to check that. Once we get these contact registers, we go and verify on the central system database. So basically, that is what we do and the contents of what we are referring as a set aside. Honorable Magazine spoke about the payments of capital assets and the goods and services that I've understand. Unfortunately, the way the fiscal framework works is when you have underspent, the next process that you do is you need to request for a rollover. However, the rollover is regulated. Section 22 of the Division of the Revenue Act says you need to have committed to the identifiable project. When you look at the goods and services, capital assets, because we did not need more of those computers and laptops. Remember, these things are going to be our asset and they're going to go up on our asset register and we don't want them to be missing or they get stolen or whatever happens to them. We did not buy the capital equipment that we did not need because we are talking about the tools of trade, our laptops, the desktop, the computer equipment that we are utilizing. Hence, I said, this is a saving. And come end of the year, because we don't have a commitment, we did not procure. We are saying in front of the audit committee and we are saying in front of the portfolio committee that when it comes to capital assets, we did not procure a lot of laptops because we know that once you have got a lot of laptops, you need to assign because now this is an asset that gets audited, that sits on our asset register. And if it gets stolen, because it's a government property, there's a whole lot of steps that comes in. So we said that if we don't need this asset, we are not going to procure them. Because all of us, we are having the assets that are in a good working conditions. Let's continue and utilize them. Let's save rather than waste the state funds. So that money is not committed. It will go back to the revenue fund. Now, when we look at the goods and services, yes, I agree, we have underspent. The audit committee and the financial statements, you need to disclose the reasons for underspending. But when we sat down with the audit committee to disclose the reasons of the underspending, they were understood because we all know that the reasons that led us to underspend on our goods and services, they were not our own made reasons. They were caused by the Concord ruling. The Concord ruling ruled against the procurement policy that we are utilized as a government. The 2017, it was put on hold. We couldn't procure. We took time when they were busy. The Minister of Finance was going back to court trying to resolve what is it. And then when we requested the deviations and the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer could not respond in time, then we delayed. And one of the other reasons was the repealing of the 2017. It came in around, I think it was October, November, December. January, there was a new regulation. Treasury came and said, hang on, you cannot utilize to procure. When you proceed with the 2017 regulations, it's going to be irregular expenditure. Because now it's repealed. You can't use 2017. Now, they brought in the new regulations, 2023. Now, we started now, we had to read the 2023. When you look at the 2017 and the 2023 regulation, the procurement, they are totally different. The 2017, they were talking about the set-asides, the contracting, all those things that they went to court with. But now, when you look at the 2023, it's taking out a lot of issues that we had. So as national departments, across the board, we had to sit down and come up with new policies because we have to change our policy now. Because now, if we continued utilizing the old policy, we could have been sitting here today saying that we have got irregular expenditure. So what we did, we had to stop. We couldn't procure because when they came up with the new regulation, they CC Auditor General. So what Auditor General is doing now, they are looking at from the 17th of January, the procurement until the 31st of March. If we have done any procurement based on the old policy and the 2017, it's regarded as irregular. So we had to sit down and say, hang a minute, let us read what the 2023 regulations are saying. Now, let us come up with new policy as a department and across the board, across the country, because that one says each and every organ of state must develop with the specific goals. So we developed, we workshopped everybody, then we started procuring. So by the time we closed the financial year,
hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I think we lost we lost the CFO. Maybe let me check if Matupe has anything and I'll close the gap between myself and the other. Matupe, do you have anything from corporate services? Action DG, let me give it to you.
Thanks, Honorable Minister. I think colleagues have covered most of the things except the issues that the CFO issues that she was still dealing with. I think I will try and get hold of her. And I think the free state issues that members have raised, I think you ventilated on them with regard to the interventions that are already in place in the Free State, and those interventions are ongoing. Hence, even their business plan has been sent for approval. I think, Honourable Minister, those are the issues, and all other issues have been covered by the colleagues. Thank you very much.
Apologies, Minister. I was struggling. Yes, I was struggling with opening my mic. From Corporate Services Minister, you have already indicated that we have started with the process of evaluating the position of the DG. We will be concluding that next week. And we have also communicated with the Ministry to request the concurrence from the Presidency so that we can be allowed to start with the recruitment process. And the other DG post Minister, as you have indicated, we have concluded the shortlisting and we will be having interviews on the 13th of June to conclude that process. Then we will take it for the cabinet process. So those are the issues that we can report on for now, Minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you. GM?
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chair. All the members, thank you very much for acknowledging and commending the progress made in the department's performance. Just to respond to Honorable Buthelezi's question around the turnaround time for delivery of military veteran houses, let me take the committee back on the process. The department depends on the Department of Military Veterans for the delivery of the houses. Why I'm saying so, we build the houses, but we cannot build a house without getting the list from them. And once they give us the list, we then go and build houses. I understand your concern, and we've been saying this, and the committee itself, we're worried about the pace of building military veterans houses. We are taking this as our priority now, members. We are working very closely with the Department of Military Veterans. In the last MEC, we invited the MEC for defense, and that is DM Magwetla, the minister invited him to come to our MINEC. We have plans. We are going to go. In fact, we started that process on members of making sure that we have to go, follow our money, go to provinces themselves. And we're not doing it alone, these honorable members. We are doing it because it's a program now led by Deputy President, and we are actually on it. And I think in the next quarter, we will be reporting the numbers for each province because we are harassing them. I don't want to use the word harassing, but we are telling them to facilitate this process. And again, Chair, once we, because we are supposed to be going to the state, I still remember that in the whole questions, there were questions around the state. I think the other thing that actually messes us out is when we don't have, because there's a new MEC now in the Free State. I was supposed to go to Free State today and have a meeting tomorrow, but unfortunately he's acting as premier. But what I'm trying to say, we are very much serious about making sure that we fast-track the delivery of military veterans houses. And again, Chair, the military veterans, their complaints all the time is around the quality of houses that we're building. So we need to monitor even the kind of houses they are building for military veterans. I know that in the Western Cape, I got that message from military veterans that the houses that the Western Cape have built, they are not in a good condition. It's good. I went there myself. Houses are big, very good, big yards. But when you go inside, they are leaks. So I think that consumer bill that we have a bill now that is going to monitor the building of houses. It's going to help us because we must go back to the contractor which was building those houses so that they look and make sure that those houses are rectified. And I think, Chair, I want to promise the because it's a program that I like. Out of all the programs that I have, I like this one because I'm talking directly to military veterans and they are responding. We're working together with DMV and we are going to, when we come back, you will see the change in terms of military veterans houses. I thank you, Chair. Chair, again, on the, I was noting now, I was about to leave this one. On the DDM, Chairperson, I believe we're on the right track as a sector. One example is the program we did in Herigwana district. Umzimkulu now, I'm going to invite you, all of you, to Umzimkulu, where the houses are built by women. And also I will also invite you, because we are from Cape Town or Western Cape. We are also from Limpopo. There is much progress. And now provinces are responding and making sure that they give women work to do. Unlike before, that they were complaining all the time. And DDM is helping us big time that we work with municipalities. We will be able now to monitor, even at a level of municipality, the issue of military veterans and also the DTM. And I'm going to invite you, Chair, on the 25th of August. Please keep your diaries. I'm taking you to Herigwala, where we are handing over houses that were built by women. I thank you so much, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members, and thanks DM and colleagues for the response. Honorable members, I will
As you respond, you can even respond on the matter of Ms. Kwai that you raised. I'm not sure whether you are here on the issue of the digitization process, just to check, just to inform where, how far are you in digitizing the beneficiary list?
Meshkai, what was another one that I said the minister can talk to them later? Yeah, Minister, you can respond on this one. I forgot the other one.
Okay. Maybe as you remember, you can type it and respond as we go on the chat group. Thanks, Chair. Members, just to start, the pilot is working. Nontantai and Tim and others have responded. Rashmi explained what we are doing there. Honorable Heron, it's work in progress. We are working around the clock to get things done, finalized. But quite a lot. I've had engagement with the team as well. We've agreed regularly to have conversations with them so that they guide the policy development in the process. Honorable Mpiti, I think the issue around unfinished projects has been responded to. Maybe let me just say that we started, it's a legacy issue. We will get there eventually. And that's why the work by NHBRC is important. I was happy when I was in Limpopo, Chairperson and members. I got feedback that in Limpopo, the NHBRC team there has been doing excellent work. The quality of work they've done, they've complied, they've made sure that the contractors have done work. So in that area, I did not have challenges. Actually, I was taken through by the work that I was taken through by the MEC and stakeholders of the work that they are doing. And that is commendable and will continue to do that. But what I've done after the meeting of the portfolio committee, I've written formally to NHBRC Council to immediately institute a lifestyle audit for all their employees with priority to the inspectors. I've asked them to relook in terms of the capacity across. I've done an engagement with the CEO as well. What we are picking up, Chair, is that when they were trying the process of insourcing, they had done an insourcing process where we are finding that some of the inspectors are not at the level that they're supposed to, and they're earning a lot of money. So that report I currently have, we've agreed, which might lead to labor issues. I've asked them, council, to go back into the bargaining council and raise this matter because we might have to redeploy some of them and rework, but it will be a labor process that is engaged on. So the issue of inspectors and the quality of work in NHBRC is being paid attention to, and all the inspectors will undergo through vetting and also lifestyle audit. So that has been taken care of. So I thought, let me just highlight what we have done since we met with the committee to show that we are serious about the work that we are doing. With regards to the issues on Soweto and the challenges around corruption. I've had discussion with some of the colleagues in cabinet, especially those who are in the cluster, security cluster, to just guide me. One of the colleagues, Minister Mutwani, has asked me to look in, Rashmi, please mute. Minister Mutwani has asked me to look at what he has done at Home Affairs. He sort of instituted or put a directorate that is almost like an investigative directorate that will look into some of the issues. So we are studying that to see if it's a model that we can take. Because we, to be honest, honorable members, we do not have the capacity, neither do the departmental officials currently have the skill to deal with issues that relate to crime or corruption within the sector. So we always have to refer to others, and sometimes it takes long. So I will be engaging with Home Affairs to look into the model that they currently have, because he says he went and found somebody who works in the Hawks as a director who has that unit for him. And the person has been doing work in terms of just following up on issues of fraud, on issues of fake accounts or creation of fake messages that drops people in the communities. Home Affairs experiences similar challenges that we have. So I said I will go and look into that and see if this is something that we can perhaps look into. But one of the challenges that we have, obviously, from our side is COE. That will limit us because our ceiling is almost there in terms of where we are. But we'll look into it and see how best we respond. And we do take note of what you are raising, that sometimes people get dropped and all those things. The issue around questions, honorable member,
just to say on the questions that we are submitting, yes, there's been delay, but we've really improved since we took over. We've put mechanisms in place and being monitored. What we have is because we say it has to be 100%. So you find that you'll have one or two questions that missed the deadline of submission by Parliament, but not that we don't respond continuously. And we don't take long, actually. So if you look at the performance rate, it's sitting at almost 98% in terms of the turnaround time, but we want 100%, and that's what we are asking. So we don't have questions that are sitting for a long time and not answered from our side. I thought I should clear that. And then coming to the Cape Town situation, if we understand the processes of allocation of resources, so there are two areas that we do. At the beginning of the financial year, a municipality will receive its budget, indication of budget. Then they will receive, they will submit a business plan. We approve a business plan and we submit that. And then there's a midterm review that is done by Treasury and ourselves as a sector department. In that, we look at non-performing areas where municipality is likely not to spend and we reallocate the funds. Now, in that process, annually, it has been done over years before even I arrived. And then at that time, then when the province or when the municipality and the province is to receive money, then it's gazetted. So with the municipalities, the amount gets gazetted on the 31st of March. It has been the same over years. So with regards to, so I thought, let me just explain the process. But with that process, then when you, before you send the money, gazetting, you have an engagement with that particular province or municipality to say there's indication of what we'll do. Now, with this regards of Khayelitsha, 16 informal settlements. Last year, at the beginning of the year in February, there were protests, informal settlement protested at SONA, raising that they do not have the ability of having toilets or water. I was brought in by the team in presidency. I started engaging the team and to look at best ways that the city can respond to these communities. Meaning this were people who were helping themselves in plastics and throwing them in the bins. Now, that's where the problem has been. We engaged the city at the beginning of the year last year, before their financial year started, requested them to include these communities in the business plans. Secondly, we had an invite from the city to attend a social housing in Durban. During that, there was another protest. Myself, the MEC Simas, and MMC Boy received a memorandum from the communities. This were relating again to the 16 informal settlements that we are talking about. We then agreed on a process of how we're going to work. We consistently engaged the city. Last year, to the point that I refused to sign the business plan of the city, saying that they need to include some level of services into the communities. And unless I see those in the business plan, I will not submit, because we all agree that we need to intervene. This is a human rights issue where you can't have people not having an ability to help themselves or having an ability to have water. And because as well, Human Rights Commission had approached me on the matter, we then committed that we'll do an intervention. As we did that, the city then raised an issue with me to say, while we agree that we'll do some level of intervention, we do not have the money. We request the national department to go find money. This is in relation to the 16 informal settlements. We then agreed that we'll go and find money to support these communities. Now, because that process was now closed in terms of financial allocation at the beginning, the understanding is that the city understood that the reallocation will be done during the midterm review, as normal as previously has been done. I will come to what happened. Then again, there was an issue of the Prasa line, where we had informal settlers putting themselves on the Prasa line. A task team was established between Prasa, HDA, the Department of Transport, the Department of Human Settlement, the province and the municipality to try and resolve the matter. A steering committee was established that also involves at some point interaction with the community. In that process again, the city said they do not have the resources to purchase land
to reallocate the people. And they are requesting the Department of Human Settlements to take responsibility of the reallocation and allocate the resources. We then again committed to say, we will have to look at where we can find the money and reallocate. In this conversation, because these are technical people employed in the human settlement sector, together with all of us who are employed in the human settlement sector, understanding is that we all understand how human settlements grant system and funds allocation is done, meaning that we'll send the money at the midterm review. I committed that we'll go and see within the system, find the money and send the money. Towards the end of the year, we held discussions. I recommitted that in the midterm, we'll find the money and reallocate the money. Indeed, with the midterm review, we went, we found the money, reallocated the money to the city. The city then, through the mayor, writes back to me to say that they appreciate the money, but they will not be able to accept it in the condition that it is now. They will not be able to spend. And I couldn't understand what does that mean, because this was money requested by the city to say, in order for us to intervene in the 16 informal settlements, as you request, in order for us to intervene in the Prasa line, as you requested, we will need the money from you to be able to do that. Now, that's what we did. We reallocated. We held a meeting last week with the city. It was very clear from the city that they will not be able to spend the money because, one, they're saying that they do not have procurement systems in place. The teams that were working in the human settlement, that are working in the human settlement, didn't understand what we meant when we said we will reallocate. They did not communicate with their CFO. CFO says he was not aware that there will be money that is coming. He just saw the money on the 31st of March that is allocated. By the way, it's not the first time the city received the money on the 31st. They acknowledged in the meeting as well. Out of that as well, they were very clear. The mayor says they are not. They believe that the Prasa line informal settlement was because of the negligence by Prasa not protecting the line. As the city, they're not prepared to get involved. So they would want to utilize the money for services, not for purchasing the land. As national, we must sort ourselves. I explained in the meeting that in the human settlement, Prasa does not have the responsibility nor transport of purchasing land for human settlements. It's us who have that. But the national department does not have money that sits with them only in terms of our grant system and funding mechanism. It's through the grants that we have. And that's why we said they must utilize the money. I've written now to the city to say we want a council resolution that says that they have received the money and they will not be. Either they must give us an indication they're accepting this 111 or they are rejecting it. We'll not change the condition of the Prasa allocation. It's for the land purchase. If the city does not want to utilize it, they will have to return it because they shouldn't have said to us that they need the money. With the 16 informal settlements, they have already started some services which violate our national policy. We brought it to their attention. Their allocation now is one toilet to 15 households, which we believe that it's detriment to the health of the communities. It should be within the norms and standards of national, which is 1:5. Chairperson, I'm taking time to explain this matter clearly because in the public domain, the city seemed to create an impression that we want them to act illegally, which is not true. They seem to create an impression that it's fiscal dumping, which is not true. The city previously has received reallocation of money within the same system, within the time period. It's not the first time, and they've clearly accepted it. And I've been clear to the city of Cape Town that we have committed to the communities to supporting them. And I was asked by the city through their representatives, not once, several times in meetings, to make available resources for us to intervene in these two areas. And I fulfilled my obligation as the minister. I'll leave the matter there. Now, coming to what has been raised on the issue, Honorable Marchesini, I must acknowledge what you are raising in terms of state is definitely the truth. MEC Makume reached out to me requesting support and intervention because majority of the staff members in the Free State Department of Human Settlements are either on DC
or some of them are under investigation with the hawks having taken their laptops and are not able to work. So what we have decided is for us to be able to take some level of intervention into Mangaung. I must commit, Honorable Member, it's my delay focusing on other areas, which MEC Makume has raised a flag to say, please, SOS, please help me. I'm going to deal with it urgently so that we can support the Free State. So I've taken note of that. Lucy has responded to the issues around overpayment. I think the issue around the work that we are doing, Honorable Money Manager, we appreciate, but also the transparency and the work around title deeds have been responded to. On the issue of digitization, Honorable Supai, I must acknowledge upfront, as I said earlier on in during the APP, this is one area that has delayed. If we can get this done, we'll solve half of the problems around manipulation and corruption of beneficiary lists. And I'm working around the clock to push for this to happen. I've been cracking the whip with the team. I must say, currently in the manner that we have been doing, it's not looking good, but we have started to re-go back because the team, what they were producing is not what we really want. For example, we went to do Afikrole in Lufereng after it was erased, and it was very clear the system that is very weak, cannot support us, cannot verify, the information is unreliable on the HSS, and all of us were very clear that there is a need for us to fast track the digitization project. We'll keep you updated, but we want to have a clear plan of action so that we can be able to present it in the next presentation of our quarterly report, Chair, just to say this is where we are. I think the issues around Honorable Telezi safety, the members who we give contracts to have an obligation themselves to protect the site so that they don't lose their work. We would want to fast track the work around mining towns, Honorable Speaker. We do agree that it's something that we need to pick up pace on so that we are able to get the work done in terms of the process. I think I acknowledge that. Oversight on entities, I think we've been able to, I hope it's not that you speak to. The issue here, Chair, is that we're saying 100% versus what we have achieved. We noted what AT raised with us previously, and we are doing follow-ups through our quarterly engagement by the team, but also myself. I have regular meetings with the board council on specific matters just to follow up and make sure that there's work that is being done. So that is improved. I can guarantee you that we'll definitely do, and monitoring of issues identified by the Auditor General is what we have as what we want to see improving across the sector. We do monitor through MINMEC as well, the work and keeping sight or in terms of what needs to be done across the sector. I must say, MINMEC has acknowledged quite importance of the technical team doing thorough work, and we've been quite cracking the whip for so that there's cohesion within the sector and working together in the sector. Thank you very much, Chair. I hope I've been able to answer quite substantive issues that you have raised. DM raised the issue of, responded to the issue of what we call the military veterans in terms of the work. I think that has been covered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, and your team. Honorable members, any follow-up? Honorable Zeki, your hand is up. And Honorable Mpiti.
Chair, the one here, Cape Town, where they are not willing to spend the money. I was thinking that let's take it on our side as an oversight and see how best we can engage them on that issue. I just wanted the minute to reflect that we as the committee would take that matter for oversight purposes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just to quickly come in on the point that the minister has spoken about regarding the lifestyle audits around housing inspectors. Just to simply say that that is very much welcomed, and we are very much thankful for that particular intervention, because it will go a long way on the ground, particularly in communities where many families have been affected by bribes and scams, and also receiving really low quality housing. That particular intervention will go a long way, and perhaps maybe when that plan has fully been initiated, the minister can just tell us how the time frames may look like in terms of getting some form of a report of that particular audit. But thank you very much, Minister, for making that intervention. It's very much appreciated. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mpichi, and Honorable Zeki for the follow-ups. Minister, you want to say something on the issue of the time frame? And
yes, Chair, quick one. We've given them 2 months, so you can give me 3 months. I've set in 2 months time for the inspector, and then I'll look at the report, and then I can report in 3 months to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Minister. Can I have the agenda be flagged back on their system before I release the department, if there is any other thing that we have to deal with? No, that was the issue. That was the last issue on the agenda. And thank you very much, Minister, and your team. And Minister, we have tabled our report on the APP, and we have debated the budget. We would want the department to look at those adopted resolution and work on them, so that there is a better coordination, and one should actually acknowledge that issues that we have raised in previously, you have responded on them, and thank you very much for that. Your achievement is the achievement of the portfolio committee, and we want to take this opportunity to thank you, and just say that resolutions, now there will be resolutions that have been tabled through Parliament. Let your team start to work on them so that at the time we invite you, there is the first quarter report. We should then be able to get even the response on the resolution that we have tabled through Parliament on the APPs, the adoption of the APPs and the debate of the budget. Thank you very much, Minister, and your team.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
I'm not going to do that.